Welcome to Conversations with the Wise, insights and practices for difficult times. My name is James Barras, founder and teacher of the Awakening Joy course at awakeningjoy.info. If you're having trouble staying clear and positive in these crazy times, you're not alone. I'm asking some of today's most beloved wisdom teachers to share their insights and practices to help us retain clarity and calm in the midst of all the chaos and distraction in our world. For more information on this series and to see videos of these conversations, visit awakeningjoy.info and click on Conversations with the Wise. And now, here's our conversation. Enjoy. Hi, everyone. Happy to share this conversation with you. If you've been listening to the other ones we've posted, you know that I am blessed with knowing some amazing people and counting them as good friends, and so I've wanted to invite them to share just any insights and practices they have for getting through these difficult times. And with me today is one of my, oldest in tenure friendships. And that is Sylvia Borstein, who I've known for over 40 years now, and proud to say that she's a friend and one of the most beloved teachers here at Spirit Rock and throughout the spiritual world. So welcome. Thank you for coming here, Sylvia.
I was glad that when you invited me, James, because this question about how are you managing in these difficult times has been what really, first of all, is what people most ask these last 2 years, at least. And it's the one that really, in some sense, vivifies my teaching more than I can remember. I'm continually feeling pleased to be able to teach, because I'm pleased to think that what you and I share is of tremendous value in these times. I always tell people when they say, what relevance is mindfulness to these turbulent times? I say, well, in a sense, it's the same relevance that it's always been, because its relevance has always been things that are difficult and challenging, and what should I do now? What would be the wise choice to create the least suffering for myself and everybody else? That's always been the point of mindfulness. But now it seems really more pressing than certainly I remember in my life, because of the times in which we live being turbulent and the stakes being very high and the planet being imperiled and everything else about modern times, and our ability to know about all of those things, which is more than has ever been before. So I think it's a bigger question than ever. It's actually much bigger than what I thought I would be addressing when I started, more or less with you, 40-some years ago. Then I really was thinking about primarily the difference that I would make with mindfulness, or that I hope to make with the pain in my own mind. And I think over the years, it's become more clear to me that it is the pain in my own mind that I want to address, and the confusion that arises continually and needs to be attended in my own mind. But the pain in the world has become really what I want to talk about the most, because maybe it's part of being old and being responsible for the world. That
older.
Older. For the world that my children and my grandchildren are going to inherit. So there's an ardency about teaching now. I'm really glad I'm teaching. Like, good. I have something to say.
I feel the same way, and for those who might not know you, if there are any watching who might not know you, it might be hard to believe, but you've written books on happiness, it's been a source of real interest to you. Happiness is an inside job, and all kinds of books like that. It's easier than you think,
I'm apologizing for that one, because I once said book, but I want to say I wrote every single word, but not the title, because On one hand, you can say it's easier than you think to change the habits of the mind. And on the other hand, it's harder than you can imagine.
Yeah, both are true.
You have to keep doing it your whole life. So, so that's part of it.
So anyway, as I'm saying, you know, you really embody a kind of aliveness and uplift just as you walk through life, and it's one of the reasons that people love hanging out with you. And want to ask you, in these really challenging times, as you're pointing out, how do you hold it a wisest perspective that helps you still stay connected to the joy and the happiness and the well-being while being staying sane and positive and motivated at the same time?
So I'd like to do two things. One is I had in mind before we talked that I wanted to share with people my, so to speak, pocket first aid in any moment of startle, practice to practice. And I wanted to tell a story or two.
Perfect. Please.
let's do the practice first. It's not that esoteric a practice, but I invented this a few years ago. And it becomes actually my the way that I begin most classes when I go someplace to teach and they don't know me. I say, let's do a two-minute meditate. In this case, we'll do a one-minute meditate.
Okay. We're on.
And here it is. I tell people, here's a two-phrase sentence that I want you to say to yourself. And I want you to say it to yourself as you breathe in and out. So the first phrase in and the second phrase out. And the sentence is, may I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend. May I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend. So ready, set, go. We'll both do it.
Excellent. Okay. Will you you want to end it, or should I do an insight timer?
Do an insight timer. I don't know.
Okay. Hold on a second. I'll have a. I'll just set my trusty insight timer for 1 minute. Okay. And so one more time. May I meet this
moment fully? May I meet it as a friend?
Okay.
All right, ready, set, go. What was your experience with that?
There was a sense of opening as I breathe in to just embrace everything in this moment and life, and a sense of connection as I say, may I meet it as a friend, that I'm not separate, and that I'm connected.
See, I'm watching you. Yes, exactly. I'm watching you as you're doing it. And as you said, I'm connected and I see moving forward. It's the opposite of moving away out of life. It's staying like, yes, yeah. May I meet? And it sounds to me actually like the briefest encapsulated form of mindfulness meditation, noticing really, really what's happening, and loving kindness meditation, which is to move towards and to pay attention to anything that in fact blocks the connection between us and who we're with or what we're with or the news in the morning or anything else. And I think that doesn't that seem like a way to say this is mindfulness, but really with that kind of inclination. I think to myself, I've been very careful in recent years to when I define mindfulness, I tell people what mindfulness is. Mm-hmm. I say what we used to say a lot of is alert moment to moment to what's really happening, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. And I said, that is how, and I am saying more clearly than I ever have before. That's the first half of the sentence. It's to see clearly, moment to moment, what's happening out here and what's happening in me in response, so that I will be able to respond in a way that does not create suffering for myself or other people. That's the other half of the sentence. It's not mindfulness just to be there. It's mindfulness to be there wisely and be able to respond. And I think I could take that one sentence and make it into the whole of what we are teaching these days, living in the world. So one of the reasons that I thought, I've been using this phrase for a couple of years now, and what I started using it for, especially, was being suddenly startled by something or find myself in a position, I'm at the Motor Vehicle Bureau or something, and it's taking too long. And I realize that some unwholesome feeling is arising in me. But you can't do anything about it. But here in the motor vehicles, you can't start meditating. I'm thinking to myself, may I meet this moment fully? May I meet it as a friend? In the motor vehicles, on the highway, in line in the supermarket, while I'm waiting, while they've gone up to check the results of the mammogram, in any kind of a short interval where it's important for me to get a grip, I actually write this down in my notes to say, explain GAG. It stands for get a grip.
That's a good one.
Because mostly I think when we make mistakes, the mind gets flurried and then we do something impromptu and we act on whatever the impulse is before thinking it over. And I actually make two notes in my book. It says GAGTIO. That's my other secret practice, thinking it over.
What was it? Thinking?
TIO is get a grip and think it over.
Think it over.
So I have been really impressed recently with how easy it is to get startled. I've always thought of myself as a very startleable person. I'm easily frightened, you know, among the people who have various kinds of tendencies of mind. My tendency is to worry. When in doubt, worry. It's the worst possible outcome. Mm-hmm. These days, that's a particularly difficult mind state to have. Mm-hmm. What kind of reasons every day to think, with this is terrible, this is all over, this is the worst, and it's going to be awful, it's bad now, and it's going to be awful. And I keep thinking of the point of mindfulness, which is really to develop a certain kind of equanimity, not equanimity that's a static equanimity, but an equanimity that says, this is what's happening now. Let's see what happens next. I love that, by the way, with all credit to Gil Fromestal. That's his line. But I love it. Let's see what happens next. Mm. Such a boon to my mind because it reminds me that there's a next. It's not all over. Mm. So I love to think about that. So let's see what happens next. And because right away the mind thinks, this is the news today. It's all over. Not all over. We're still here, and we're still making a difference. Here's a story. When I remember that, I'm still here, and we're still making a difference, and it doesn't look good, the news. Nothing seems as prosperity as we used to think, but we're still here. And so, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I was driving down my street, I was going to Spirit Rock for Wednesday morning class, and I was not actually in a clear-minded, good mood. I had listened to news up in the morning, which is not such a hot idea. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking to a few friends, and my mind was, actually, I was driving down the street, and I was thinking to myself, this is not the most elevated way to go and teach about the nature of mind being brilliant and pure. You know, my mind was really roaring away with its own stories. And I came to this corner, and it's a big overpass. It's a big crossing over because there's a lot of streets that meet there. And so there's a crossing guard there. There's a grade school right across the street, and there's a crossing guard there. And there's been one for years, and the little man who was there that morning has been there for years, but I hardly know. I just know there's a little man who's a crossing guard. And I come to the corner, and the light is red, so I'm poised there, my foot on the brake, and I'm watching him, and I'm thinking all my thoughts, and it was raining also. Yeah. And I saw him all of a sudden. So it isn't that I hadn't seen him before, but I hadn't seen him before. He'd always been there. And I suddenly saw him. He's a little man, he's old. He's wearing a yellow slicker like a fisherman off the coast of Maine. A yellow hat, you know. And he's got, in one hand, he's got one of those big hexagonal, octagonal, whatever they are, stop signs, a big stop sign on a pole that he's managing the traffic. And on the other hand, he's got an umbrella open, and he's rushing back and forth across the street, bringing little lumps of two kids and three kids across the street. A little man in a slipper in the rain with an umbrella and a stop sign. And I looked at him, and there was something about his total 100% dedication, interest. He was so totally there that I got it, and I fell in love with that little man in that moment. I thought, wow. And like my whole stories of the world is coming to an end, and it just fell out of my mind, because in a moment of absolutely 100% loving connection, it all falls out of your mind. And then as soon as it fell out of my mind, and then the light changed, of course, and get rolled down in my throat. And I realized that happened. And then I went to Spirit Rock, and I told the class that I was getting all prepared to say, I got there, and I said, you know, the world's going to be all right, because there are people who are still dedicated to doing good things. And I described this little man. I said, here he is 100% there with these people, because he is taking care of his little piece of the universe. That's the part that he's minding. And if we each minded just our little piece of the universe, with dedication, then it doesn't matter. We'll all be all over the world holding up our piece of the world. We do it. And as goodness exists, and there are people who are figuring out how to clean up the rivers and clean up the air and do all that. And I remember that in that moment. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that he had in each hand a pretty cosmic message. One was stop, and stop your ruminating and agitating. And the other one was an umbrella to protect those who needed protection. So life gave you just the right message.
I actually thought we all need an umbrella and a stop sign. and for myself, what I've realized is I want to realize when my mind starts in one of its tapes about the world and the not coming to an end and it's melting and the polar bears and all the terrible things I can think about. I think to myself, it doesn't look good. So not to be silly about it, doesn't look good. On the other hand, it's not finished yet. You know those young people in the last week who have been out really talking about, we are going to outlive you and we are going to vote differently. We're going to outlive you and we're going to vote you out. There's a whole, I can't remember the amount of people, but there are way more young people in the world than there are older. Mm-hmm. I am waiting for those young people as a group to say, hey, it's our planet. You're messing it up. Stop. We're taking it over. And that's what I think.
Yeah. And it is a kind of striking. It's striking to me how quickly conventional wisdom can change on something that seems insurmountable, whether it's same-sex marriage or the Me Too movement or any shift in social change that it might have been centuries and decades and many years in coming, but in a moment the conventional wisdom can change and it's not okay to think like you did a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's been fascinating in this last couple of weeks just to see how quickly things can change around guns and violence. And not to say that there's not a big fight, but you can just see the tipping point that is shifting.
Now, I'm very excited. When I remember, then I think, oh, good. I hope I live long enough to see this. Mm-hmm. Because I think it'll be exciting to see it, but I have a lot of confidence that it's going to happen because the alternative is unthinkable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to live into the alternative.
So, I've often been quoting Roger Walsh's line that has been so inspiring to me. We live in we're in a race between fear and consciousness, and we're you know somewhat in the consciousness business, probably as long as there's stress, there'll be a need for people to meditate and learn mindfulness and become more conscious. But how do you see this playing out, say in your most positive vision over the course of the next years and decades? Because I always find it's helpful to hold a positive vision to keep moving in that direction. And any way that you hold it or that your mind can just envision things unfolding?
Well, I don't know. How many years was it now of the Arab Spring? 5? More or less, somewhere around there. But when those, in the middle of the Arab Spring movement, in the middle of watching people in Cairo, thousands and thousands and thousands in the square in Cairo, all of them holding a phone and texting each other. And they would talk so much about that what the text was, well, we'll meet here or we'll meet there and keep it peaceful. No, we have to be peaceful now, but let other people know that we're doing it. And at the time, I was so excited about it because I thought to myself, I love the magic of being in the 21st century, that I can call someone in France and look at them, or I can call Colin in Ecuador and look at him, and you know, that it's magic. You pick up a piece of plastic and do that.
Yep.
But I was thinking, what we really need is the whole world, especially the world under 25, to pick up a phone and text every single person they know and say, here's the word. Peace is possible. Mm-hmm. We could do it. There's another way. Stop now. Just tell everybody that you know, put down the guns all together. Invite your neighbors for dinner. This is our last chance. We have to be friends with each other, or we're not going to have a planet. But if we all are friends with each other and we take care of each other, we can take care of each other's farms or each other's needs or take care of whatever. Take care of each other, period. And we could have a new world. That's what I think about. I think about the fact that, like never before in history, everybody in the world can talk. We could be on a conference call. We could be on Zoom with the whole world. Mm-hmm. Invite them to a meeting. Mm-hmm. But don't you think?
Yeah, I often say also, you know, there's never been as great a possibility of self-destruction with the greed, hatred, and that's going on in the world. And there's never been as much consciousness either, never in the whole history of the world. So it's very interesting times that we live in. And that's what makes it so, I agree with you, exciting.
Yeah.
To be a part of working for the good.
We have time for one more image.
Sure, sure.
Because we've just finished with the Olympics. Did you watch the Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Winter Olympics in Seoul that just finished. There are a couple of things about watching Olympics that's thrilling for me. First of all, people do totally amazing things with their body. They just practice and practice and practice. So the idea that human beings have the ability to become superhuman physically, practically to fly on skis, with a lot of practice. I think that people can really, with a lot of practice, maybe learn to transform their minds to not get confused. That's number one, with the help of each other. Also, when I watched the Olympics, they kept on saying, well, he might be a medal holder, or she might win a medal in 2022 in Beijing. I think, oh, 2022, they're planning for there to be a 2022. Mm-hmm. People are training for 2022, but they're thinking past this. Mm-hmm. And I find that one of the most stressful times for me is when I forget that there's what's going to happen next. On what side of it, outside of it. And people are planning on living. People are filing college applications. They're learning new things to do. They are inventing floors for stuff that we haven't even thought about. Those people are not being confined by the thoughts about this is the end. They're planning on it not being the end.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in touch with that because it excites me.
Mm-hmm. So, and I agree, seeing the possibilities and the inspiration from especially younger people is it really opens the heart. And as I have a feeling you would agree with me, it's scary to see the damage that's happening. So I wonder if you, I love this line by Angelus Arian, action absorbs anxiety. And I wonder what you would say to people who want to make a difference but don't know where to begin, and what next steps might people have that will engage them in a way that they feel like they're contributing and not just sitting on the side and praying, as important as praying is.
Praying is good. Do everything you can. As before, the notes I made for what we're talking about are in back of this, which is a call to come and march. This was last Wednesday night, Valentine's Day.
Mm.
Come and
light
march.
Up the night.
Mm-hmm. Light up the night. Come and march in Marin County, California. Sponsored by three different organizations that all address themselves to the cause of peace. And I went. So I went with some friends of mine,
mm-hmm.
and people said, did a lot of people come? No, a lot of people didn't come. Maybe 100 people came, but I went. And I went there, and I thought to myself, it doesn't matter. It matters that these 100 people went, and that we are walking together, and then other people will see. There was a picture of me in the paper, actually, the next day.
Okay.
I saw a picture in the paper. I said, well, that's because I was the shortest person there, the oldest person there, and I was wearing a pink pussy hat from my women's march. But I'm happy about that. I can teach them contemplation and meditation all over the place, but there's a march. You go march. That's it.
So to actually put yourself in motion and be there with other people seems to be a...
And while you're doing it, it does not seem like the end of the world. That if a couple of people together, 100 people marching, it's fun to march in a candlelight march these days, because they have battery operated candles. Mm-hmm. You don't have to direct wax on yourself. You get a battery operated candle and you mark. You mark every place you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go with people and you feel I'm not the only person in the world, and we are making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Got their picture in the paper, and other people saw the picture in the paper, and that how it's like the messages that this video is going to make to people, because it's going to go to people who are going to tell people. So I'm very grateful for you for doing this.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you, those times where you do let in the pain and the reality of what's happening and your heart is breaking, how do you, because I know how much you care about the world, obviously, how do you hold that when it just seems like it's almost too much? What would you share if somebody came to you with that question?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is I talk to my friends. Because I call my friends, I talk to my friends. Because I think we're on a long march together. And when somebody gets tired, other people hold them up. And if I call my friends, they'll talk to me. And they'll remind me of some of this goodness in the world and people are working on this. And you just haven't your mind is too tired today, sweetheart. They'll tell me, maybe they'll remind me, don't turn on the cable news, mm-hmm. stay away from the news. It's not good for you. Put the Mozart trumpet concerto go make a salad. Bake a cake, make a soup, call a friend, visit a friend.
You're just reminding me of some research that I came across that people who are going through a hard time physically in hospitals or going through a hard time emotionally, they've shown that when you hold somebody's hand, your threshold for pain, your tolerance for physical and emotional pain goes much higher, that you're able to handle things without being overwhelmed. And that does seem to be the secret, that we're not doing this alone. And that lets the heart of compassion open up and caring open up, and that shared pain makes all the difference in the world.
It's like daring to have hope. You know, that it looks hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
You feel hopeless. They say, let's go on a march. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's canvas. Let's join the telephone thing to get some of those people elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just actually, Jane and I are going to be getting involved, or are getting involved in going to places outside of Berkeley. Because Berkeley, we pretty much it's covered, but places in other parts of California and getting out the vote, because it just seems like one thing that we can do that might make a difference. So just finding something that you can do or that you're motivated does relieve that anxiety.
Make phone calls, even if you can't go anyplace.
Mm-hmm.
I call senators' offices, and not particularly the ones that are voting the way that they want them to be, but the other ones. And every once in a while, by the way, I want to really invite people to do that. I call senators that are, so to speak, on the other side of the aisle, and I get all ready to get an answering machine. And I got a person, because some people's offices are staffed by interns. And I was already with my speech. I'm 81 years old. I have never missed voting in an election in my entire adult life. I vote for everything. I really think that this is about my health care bill. I really think that I give my whole long speech, and I'm sure they're going to hang up every minute. And then I pause at the end and they say, thank you very much. I made a note of what you said and I'll give it to the center. Who knows if they will or they won't. But I felt great, you know. That maybe that was like one feather on the scale of how that person voted. Actually, the person ended up voting the way I called. I don't imagine that my phone call changed the whole thing, but I imagine a lot of people voted. So.
Beautiful. Every moment counts.
Every moment.
Well, any last words that you can that you want to share as far as anyone who might be listening or watching this that can leave them with?
Yeah, sometimes when I get going and I talk about something that I really feel strongly about, like it's going to come a time when everybody's going to get on their phone and tell the whole world let's do it differently, and the whole world will. It could happen. And sometimes somebody will say, you seem so like sure that this is a potential for human beings. What if it's not true? What if this is really the beginning of the end of the world? And I say, you know what? If this is the beginning of the end of the world and I'm around at the end of the world, I want to be amongst the people who are comforting the other people and are arriving with their hearts intact and still able to console. Those are the people I want to be with.
Well, you certainly do a good job of comforting and uplifting to so many people. So it's really a pleasure to call you friend and have this conversation and to just be inspired by what you do in this world. So thanks so much for being part of it.
Thank you for asking me, James, because as always, I love you and I love to be with you. And you're also a prime mover of uplift. And as this last half hour, have a long past by, I felt myself inside believing it more and more. I think it's like a credo. We have to say it all the time to keep it up there so we know that we remember it. And
well, keep saying it. We want to hear what you have to say. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
It's a great pleasure.
Bye-bye. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And go out there and make a difference yourself. Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Conversations with the Wise, Insights and Practices for Difficult Times. For more information on this series and to see the video of this and other conversations, please visit awakeningjoy.info and follow the links. We'd love to hear from you, so please follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know what you think. And please like and share the videos. Till next time, this is James Barras wishing you true well-being and a caring, loving connection with the world.